friends. This is Pastor Robert. We're so glad to be with you. Bring you another message from God's Word. So why don't you take a little time out of your busy day today and let's talk about Jesus. I'm looking forward all week to this broadcast, and it's been a quick week for me. We're already back again, and we're happy that you are back again. And we hope you become a continued listener to this broadcast, that you are with us. We feel that we are building a listening audience so that we can share the glories of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are just so happy that you have returned, if you're a return listener, to make us part of your devotional life. We would like to tell you that if you enjoy this broadcast and you want to hear live service, part of our live service, you can tune in on Sunday from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. right here on WMAF to Sunday Morning Alive, broadcast from the Holy Church of God, an excerpt from a Sunday morning service where the Spirit of the Lord just is free to move. We have an open-ended service where God can just move according to His will and purpose, and we yield ourselves to Him for that purpose. And God is moving wonderfully in our little headquarters here in Tampa, and we're just so grateful for the way the Holy Spirit moves. Where two or more gathered in His name, He said, there am I in the midst of them. And there's two or more of us gathered here today around this radio broadcast. As we gather around the Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord and Jesus Christ Himself is in the midst of us. So right where you are, Christ is going to move in a personal way. And right where I am, He's going to move. And I'm so thrilled to be part of this great process of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations of the world. And amazingly, right out of North Florida, WMAF streams to the nations of the world. And our website has picked up many hits from places I would have never dreamed. Liberia, Australia, of course. There's already an established listening base down under. And from other states in the United States, we have a listener that has contacted the station that listens by computer as it streams live 24 hours a day in Virginia. And we're happy to have you with us today. I'm originally from Kentucky. I lived in Florida ever since I was a baby, but my roots go back to Kentucky. And so we welcome you from Virginia, amen, to this broadcast today. And all over the world, wherever you're hearing this broadcast, we've had several hits from the Philippines, and we welcome you once again to Let's Talk About Jesus. We're going to talk today about the God of grace, and what a wonderful message we have to bring to you today. Someone said grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Others have kind of used the formula unmerited favor. We want to look deeply, more deeply into this issue of grace. It's the greatest, most wonderful expression of God's love in all of the Scripture. It's what Jesus was actually portraying upon the cross was the grace of God. And we're going to begin this study of grace in the Old Testament, and that may come as a bit of a shock to some of you, because most of us associate grace with the new covenant. And certainly the new covenant is a better covenant established on better promises. But grace from the heart of God was not a new covenant concept. Grace from the heart of God is in the ancient covenant with His ancient people Israel. God has been gracious to those who would turn to Him, and He operates from that place of grace and mercy in His heart. So we're going to study from the book of Micah and show you how grace operates, even when judgments have come, even when the situation looks hopeless. The God of grace gives hope to every person who would turn to Him in true repentance. Nationally, individually, we serve a God of grace who has a God like our God. I want you to turn with me as we study the God of grace to Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Micah, the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 7 and verse 18. Who has a God? Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. The New International, I like it. It says, who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delights to show mercy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ancient Israel's troubles, like ours, were a result of rebellion and sin. God's judgments had come. Their enemies had now prevailed and boasted in their victories over them. They, without God's covering, seemed so helpless and so very hopeless. But because of the God of grace, all of that is about to change. They had broken their covenant with him, but he would not break his covenant with them. If they would repent and return to the Lord, he would grant them mercy and forgiveness. That's what grace is all about. It's not deserved, this mercy and this forgiveness that is granted. And that's why it's called grace, because it is indeed something we didn't earn or merit. We deserve punishment, but he gives us mercy. That's what grace is all about. Again, when they seek him for mercy and forgiveness, prayers are answered, enemies are vanquished, blessings are restored, and God is glorified. Praise the Lord. Jameson Fawcett Brown, commentary, an old commentary but very significant commentary, gives a synopsis of the seventh chapter of the book of Micah. And it says in their commentary, the universality of the corruption of the chosen remnant, driven from every human confidence, turns to God, triumphs by faith over her enemies, is comforted by God's promises in answers to prayer, and by the confusion of her enemies, and so breaks forth in praises of God's character. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something today. When we win over the enemy of our soul, our God is glorified. Our victories bring glory to our God, and they glorify his character of love and mercy and grace. Matthew Henry's commentary on our text is as follows. Listen to this. And it was their sin that brought them into bondage, so it was God's pardoning their sin that brought them out of it. I like that. That's what grace is all about, friend. Our sin has brought us in to the prison house of darkness, but it's God's grace and his pardon that brings us out. The pardon of sin is the foundation of all other covenant mercies. The glory of the Lord in forgiving sin is matchless and without compare. There is no God like him for this. No magistrate on earth or common person forgives as God does. The message of Micah is this, that while it's true that God punishes sin, even in his own people, he also pardons sin if they repent and return to him. And when he does forgive them, he does it so thoroughly and completely that every blessing of the covenant is restored and every foe is defeated. Both Israel and her enemies will see marvelous things. They will be astonished as God answers prayer in behalf of his people. You see, that's why the message of repentance is so powerfully positive. People have put a negative spin, even in the church world, on this message of repentance. We're afraid we're going to drive people away if we talk about the terrible plight of sinners and the great pardon of God. If we put it in the context of we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, like the scripture said, we're afraid we're going to drive someone away, and we're trying to find some way to woo people in. You know, most sinners that I've met know they're sinners. They don't have a problem with the fact that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. I don't see people that are running from the fact of their sin. Most people acknowledge up front, I'm a sinner. I tell you, folks, amen, we need to get back to the gospel as it was written. The Holy Ghost did not miss it. The Holy Ghost that inspired the Word of God didn't misinstruct us of how to preach and teach. Amen. We don't need to edit it or upgrade it for the 21st century and the postmodern world. Man is a sinner. And I believe he knows that. And the Bible is not to expose that sin, but to explain that we are sinners and how God wants to pardon our sin and bring us out of the destructive force in our life. I don't have a problem with admitting up front I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, but I have a proclamation that my sins have been forgiven, that I have been pardoned, that I have been reconciled unto God. Hallelujah. I have a great need for Jesus Christ, and I have a great Jesus Christ to meet my need. Praise God. Hallelujah. Repentance to me is powerful. That's why Jesus said to the church of Laodicea in the New Testament to be zealous, therefore, and repent. Why did he say to have a zeal for repentance? Because he promised in the next breath that it would bring such restoration of fellowship and restoration of true riches and true blessings into the life of that church that was so needy. God is a gracious God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you today, amen, if anyone is listening to this broadcast that thinks you have went too far, that your sin is too black, that you have slipped into such a deep hole that there is no way to get out, then you need to understand this powerful, powerful force of grace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When God restores us, friend, prayers are answered, enemies are vanquished, His great name is brought honor and glory. You know, I want to win victory because I don't like living in defeat. I want to live in God's victory because I don't like to live bound. I want my freedom in Him. But I want victory for even a higher reason than those that bless me personally. I really want to bring glory to His great name by my life. Praise God. I want people to know that the God that I serve is the true and the living God. Amen? Praise God. And that He answers prayer. I want that testimony in my life that ancient Israel had when she did return to the Lord after falling away. And He restored His relationship and covenant promises unto them. Amen. Those about them said, "Who has a God like their God? A God so nigh them in all that they call upon Him for." Praise the Lord. Amen. What a testimony of a nation when they were in right standing with their God. What a testimony that any person can have when we are in right standing with our God. I say it at church all the time. I'm going to say it over the airways. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. There's nothing wrong or negative about the message that we've sinned and come short of His glory. But if we repent and confess our sin, He's faithful and just, according to the Scripture, to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Hallelujah. What a powerful gospel this is. A gospel that you can be forgiven, that I can be forgiven. And we can be reconciled unto God. And when we're reconciled unto God, hallelujah, amen, then our enemies are going to fall back. You know what David said in the Old Testament? He said, "The very day that I pray, my enemies fall back. This one thing," he said, "I know God is for me." That becomes the supreme issue concerning our victory nationally and personally. Is God with us? The Bible said if we return to Him, He'll return to us. When God returns to a nation or to a person, amen, there is a difference when they go to battle. They begin to win their battles. They begin to vanquish their enemies and because God takes up the fight. Hallelujah. You may have a battle with drug addiction. Amen. And you're right when you say in and of yourself, you may not be able to conquer that addiction. But when God stands up in your behalf, hallelujah, I want you to know you can win that battle over drug addiction. You can win that battle over alcoholism. You may be addicted to pornography on the internet. I don't know what a chain that may be holding you today, but I'm telling you that chain can break if you come to the Lord in true repentance. He'll stand up for you and he'll stand up with you in battle. Hallelujah. And if God be for us, Paul said, who can be against us? So the scripture said, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. I love the real Greek connotation of that word, because it means to run as in panic. You know, we need to get a good look at the backside of Satan. We always see him coming against us. We need a relationship with God as we submit ourselves to him. Hallelujah. Amen. And we take our stand in that right standing that we have with our God. It makes a difference when we resist the enemy from a standpoint of right standing with God. Submit yourself unto God. The book of James said, resist the devil. And then watch what happens. You get a look at his backside. You see him running from you, not coming against you and beginning to prevail over you. That's why this message of God's grace is so important, because God wants to put us in right standing with him. The issue is sometimes we have a problem submitting ourselves, humbling ourselves, repenting of our sins, seeking his forgiveness so that he can give us restoration. I want to get rid of that negative spin that's been put on repentance. I want to receive that grace that flows when we truly repent. And I want all the benefits of this great covenant of grace and love and power. Because when prayers begin to be answered, God stands up in behalf of his people. And when God's people walk in victory, God's name is brought glory and honor. Hallelujah. Amen. The gospel is the good news that although we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, because of God's grace and mercy through the great gift of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we can be saved and we can be delivered, set free, and restored. It's the gospel of the grace of God. I want to read from the book of Acts chapter 20 verse 24. We've been talking in our messages about Paul's calling to ministry and what God sent him to accomplish. Acts 20, 24 is kind of a continuation of that. It said, but none of these things move me, Paul speaking. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the grace of God. God in love and mercy sent his Son. The scripture said in John 3:16 that one most of us, if we were taken to church when we were young, learned in Sunday school. What a simplistic scripture, but what a powerful truth in it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news, or the gospel of the grace of God. God in grace and mercy looked down on a fallen world that could not possibly save itself and said, I'm going to send you a Savior. I'm going to send you a substitute who will go to the cross, who will take the punishment for your sin so that you can be forgiven if you'll repent of your sin and if you will turn to God and look to him in true repentance. Grace will flow from that wonderful cross. Hallelujah. Testifying to the gospel of the grace of God was the great purpose in the Apostle Paul's life and ministry. He was driven by it. Many were and still are being drawn to God by this good news. I love the paraphrase. It said, but my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love. Praise the Lord. Amen. Micah's words of comfort are given to a world of trouble. Matthew Henry comments, in this chapter 1, the prophet, in the name of the church, sadly laments the woeful decay of religion in the age wherein he lived, and the deluge of impiety and immorality which overwhelmed the nation. Does that sound familiar? Do you understand how this relates to us in our contemporary time? We're not a lot different than ancient Israel was when they fell away from God nationally, as we are in America. Amen. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Bell Graham, and Billy Graham also made that statement, the same statement, that unless God judges America, if America doesn't repent, unless God judges America, he's going to have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize. God is a righteous God, an equitable God. That's why part of Billy Graham's great message over the years has always been turning to God, repenting of sin, a simple message, but would bring such powerful result if received. I believe that's why God used Billy Graham so powerfully and still uses his influence all over the world. Like no one else in our generation evangelically, Billy Graham has been used because he preached the gospel of the grace of God, and he preached repentance of sin, amen, so that a relationship could be restored nationally, personally. And calling America back to God has always been part of that ministry. Amen. America does need to come back to God. Oh, but if America comes back to God, God will come back to America. And we will see marvelous things. Praise the Lord. Listen to the rest of what Matthew Henry's commentary said. It said, the immorality which overwhelmed the nation, which leveled the differences and bore down the fences of all that is just and sacred. The prophet, for the sake of the church, prescribes comforts which may be of use at such a time and gives counsel of what to do. They must have an eye up to God. They must courageously bear up against the insolence of the enemy. They must patiently lie down under the rebuke of their God. They must expect no other than that the trouble that would continue long, they must endeavor to make the best of it. They must encourage themselves with God's promises and answer to the prophet's prayers. They must foresee the fall of their enemies that now triumphed over them. They must themselves triumph in the mercy and grace of God, that his faithfulness to his covenant. And with that comfortable word, the prophecy concludes. Hallelujah. Amen. There is hope because of God's wonderful grace. No one is without hope today. No sin is so black, no prison house so dark, no chain so strong that if we turn to God in repentance, God's grace cannot break that chain. God's light cannot penetrate that darkness, and God's love cannot bring us out of the prison house. Hallelujah. Misery is turned to hope because of the gospel of grace. Because of the grace of God, prayers can be answered. Micah 7:15 says, according to the days of thy coming out of Egypt, when I showed unto him marvelous things. Hallelujah. The New International says, as in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them my wonders. Hallelujah. And one paraphrase says, yes, says the Lord, I will do mighty miracles for you, like those I did when I rescued from slavery in Egypt. God will do it again. We used to have a lady that sang in our church on Sunday mornings, and this is a song. She's with the Lord now. Her name was Marlena Glanton, and many people in our congregation over the years had heard her sing this song, God Will Do It Again. And it would encourage our hearts to believe that the God of the Bible is the God that we serve, and that Jesus Christ is presented in Scripture the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Christ that walked the sandy shores of Galilee is the Christ that walks among the lampstands, or is vitally present in His church and viably present in His people even today. Hallelujah. And we can expect God to move in answer to prayer. We're going to see the supernatural evidence of God's presence with His people again. This is not some kind of uniquely Pentecostal message. This is just the truth about God and His covenant and His relationship with His people. Grace allows a reconciliation. Reconciliation allows restoration. Restoration allows God to move in behalf of His people nationally and personally. I don't know about you today, but I don't like to just talk about the God of yesterday, the God of ancient times, the God of the Old Testament, or the God of the Bible days. Have you heard about that? The God of Bible days. Honey, I want to tell you something. We're living in Bible days for the believer. For people who put their trust in the veracity of God's Word and in the absolute integrity of God's Word, we're not away from Bible days. Amen. God still moves to supernaturally intervene in the natural course of human affairs. That's basically the dictionary word. It didn't use the term God. It just says a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. That's what basically a miracle is. And I'm telling you, our God is the supernatural one that answers prayer when we're right with Him. Praise the Lord. God turns hopelessness and helplessness into hope. It looked so hopeless here in Micah's time. They had slipped so far from God. Chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 said, "Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like a dragon," literally a jackal in the New International, "and mourning as the owls." This is a weeping prophet over how far a nation has slipped from God and how their enemies were now able to prevail over them. And he said in verse 9, "For their wound is incurable." Doesn't mean that God can't pour in the oil and wine. It means that we can't heal ourselves from wounds this deadly and this devastating. Only God's grace can provide the balm to heal the terrible wound that sin inflicts. But thank God there is grace to bring that healing today. Some people are so wounded by sin and its consequences and the heartache and heartbreak that it brings that it seems there's no way out. Some contemplate suicide. Some want to take their life. I speak to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. There is a way out of your dungeon. There is forgiveness and restoration. God offers grace because He is the God of all grace. And that grace was no more clearly seen than when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Oswald Chambers wrote, "In the cross we may see the dimensions of divine love." In the cross we may see the dimensions of divine love. And he went on to say, "The cross is not the cross of a man, but the exhibition of the heart of God. At the back of the wall of the world stands God, with His arms outstretched, and every man driven there is driven into the arms of God. The cross of Jesus Christ is the supreme evidence of the love of God." Friend, I want to tell you something today. God loves you. He gave His Son for you on the cross, so that I could bring you today, and preachers from the first church all the way up to the 21st century, the gospel, the God of grace, to tell you today that you can be set free, you can be forgiven, you can be restored. You can have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Someone who said, "I took your punishment, I took your pain, because God loves you." Who says, "I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you." Yes, you. You can know Him today. simply by repenting of your sin and asking Him into your heart as your Savior. Will you do that right now? Will you ask Jesus to restore your soul? If you're a Christian today, you're going through trials and tests, don't forget, He giveth more grace. Hallelujah. He's not going to leave you. He's going to bring you out, and His name is going to be glorified. Cry unto Him. If there's sin in the way, get it out of the way. Hallelujah. Because there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. See you next week.